Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm the host, Don Nikoloff, as you heard in the announcement, and we are at the December the 21st, 2007. Some of you on the West Coast are still on the 20th, as usual. I remind you of that, just in case, because we are listening in different time zones across the country and around the world. On the world's number one internet radio network. I want to give a greeting to my executive producer, Mr. Donald Newsom, as well as my chief engineer, Seth, and thank them for a great job they're doing with the sound, especially this evening. Sounds great. I'm reminded that today is 5 years away from when this planet is going to be in a totally different reality, and it's something special to celebrate 5 years from now. We can start partying right now, I think. Looking at what's going on in the world these days, there's a lot of chaos and a lot of confusion, and we're going to talk about that a little bit so that we can discuss some solutions. I've been sort of doing monologues all week, not intentionally. I'm hoping that people call in. I want to quickly give out the numbers. If you have a piece of paper and a pen or pencil, or if you're good at memorizing numbers, then take these numbers down and call in and join in the discussion. Or you may have a question, you may have a comment about either the shows or tonight's show. The toll-free number in the USA and Canada is area code 888-228-4494. Worldwide, the toll-free number is 877-489-6350. And our three direct lines, all with the area code 530. First number is 776-5154. Second number is 776-5185. And you can also call 876-9916. I look forward to hearing from some people tonight. I told you how I feel about you calling in, and I know many people are enjoying the show, maybe meditating or contemplating about some of what I'm talking about. If we open up a discussion, we start moving the energy. That's what I'm trying to do this week, is get people involved in these discussions, because as you become awake, you waken those around you. And the more of us that are awake, the faster we can come to a higher place, a higher vibration, and we can begin to collectively heal the earth and rid ourselves of all the evil and corruption that is rampant these days. Speaking of which, I'm going to do a little bit of connect the dots news, and I'm going to focus on an event that actually was occurring yesterday when I was broadcasting the TNT News Hour at 1 p.m. Pacific time, and I talked about quite a bit of different stuff for the news. I was talking about some of the abuse that's going on with wealthy people and their hired servants. And I also talked about a lady that was in some danger in a parking lot where someone had flattened her tire with the intention of abducting her. And she used her intuition and really avoided a potentially nasty situation could have cost her life. So tonight I'm going to focus more on stuff that's going on in the government. I think you'll find this interesting. there is a story which was out in the National Post. It came out, probably around mid-afternoon yesterday. And this story came out of Washington. A fire damaged Vice President Dick Cheney's ceremonial office in a building overlooking the White House on Wednesday and forced hundreds of government workers to evacuate. Mr. Cheney was in the White House with President George W. Bush receiving their morning intelligence briefings when the blaze began and people were evacuated from the Eisenhower Executive Office Building safely, White House officials said. Thick black smoke billowed from the second floor of the hulking granite structure, which is part of the White House compound and faces the west wing of the presidential mansion. Firefighters quickly brought the fire under control. "Everyone's been evacuated safely," White House spokesman Scott Stanzel said. "There were no injuries that we know of. There were no evacuations from the White House itself." Mr. Bush and Cheney later emerged and thanked firefighters beside a ladder truck on the driveway outside the West Wing. The fire broke out near Cheney's suite of ceremonial offices, which he uses for staff meetings and talks with visiting dignitaries in large groups. Flames did not reach Mr. Cheney's office, but it sustained smoke and water damage, according to his spokeswoman, Megan Mitchell. He usually works inside the White House itself. Fire Department spokesman Alan Etter said smoke was coming from telephone or electrical equipment, but the cause of the fire was not yet known. There was no indication of terrorism. There have been numerous security scares since Washington was targeted in the September 11, 2001 hijacked plane attacks. The EEOB, a granite, slate, and cast iron structure, was built between 1871 and 1888. It also houses offices of the National Security Council and the Office of Management and Budget, as well as some senior advisors. Now, I could comment on this. There were some key phrases, and I'm going to just point these phrases out. Of course, the Eisenhower Executive Office Building. It wasn't in the White House. Thick black smoke. Remember that. Thick black smoke coming out of a hulking granite building. Now, we're not talking about a wooden building. We're talking about a granite building. Let's see. I'm sort of skimming over this. Okay, they reminded us about the hijacked plane attacks on 9/11. And this building, which has been standing for some... let's say 120 years or a little over 120 years, almost 130 years, at various stages, we'll say, of its construction, all of a sudden has thick black smoke billowing out of either a telephone or an electrical device. Now, these devices are quite different. I would presume that the telephone in that office was hardwired. And telephones will run even if your electricity is out. The vice president's office telephone will still work if all the power goes out. Telephone companies supply a voltage to the line that comes into the phone that enables you to make a call. So unless you are using a cordless phone or some sort of phone that has a power supply that depends upon the AC, which may have been cut off, you would not get a fire out of a telephone. So that's kind of a very strange statement to make and follow it up with, we don't know what the cause of the fire was. If there's a fire in a room, I would suggest that anything in the room is potentially able to catch on fire. In fact, let's look at the fact that the National Security Council had offices there in that building, as well as the Office of Management and Budget. That's significant. But we're going to get a little bit more significant in a moment. Now, I'd like to read another take on the same event, and this comes from Breitbart.com. Fire controlled at White House compound. This came out at 12:21 yesterday afternoon. So it was somewhere around the time or shortly after the fire. I would guess that it was much closer. Also from Washington, this is from the Associated Press. Thick black smoke billowed from a fire Wednesday in Vice President Dick Cheney's suite of offices in the historic Eisenhower Executive Office Building next to the White House. Cheney's office was damaged by smoke and water from fire hoses. White House, now I'm wondering if they mean the smoke was coming out of the fire hoses too, or just the water. White House spokesman Scott Stanzel said. The vice president was not in the building at the time. He was in the west wing of the White House with President Bush. Okay, so we're presuming that they get their intel briefings from the west wing of the White House. I don't know if that's true or not, but if we start putting pieces together and take note of all the different stories that come out, it'd be interesting to find out if there is a slant or a reason for this fire on a second story office that no one is using. More than 1,000 people who work in the building were evacuated. The fire broke out on the second floor of the building around about 9:15 a.m. and was under control within a half hour, District of Columbia Fire Department spokesman Alan Etter said. Afterward, Bush and Cheney appeared on West Executive Avenue between the White House and the damaged building to thank District of Columbia firefighters. A fire tanker nearby still had its ladder extended to a window on the blackened second floor. So now, it's not just the telephone that was smoking, now the whole second floor is blackened. The blaze was located in Cheney's suite of ceremonial offices. His working office is in the West Wing, Secret Service spokesman Darren Blackford said the building was evacuated as a precaution. District, it is a good idea. We learned that in school. If there's a fire in the building, you get everybody out of the building. And I think most of us, if we have a major fire in our house, would do the same thing. So it's only natural. District of Columbia firefighters poured water on the blaze, broke windows, and moved furniture onto a balcony. Okay, so now we have the firefighters vandalizing the place. I'm just making a comment there. There were no reports of serious injuries, Etter said. A U.S. Marine stationed at the building smashed a fifth-floor window to escape from the smoke and had to be rescued from the ledge, he said. The man suffered a minor cut to his hand. The building remained evacuated while firefighters ventilated the smoke, Etter said. The displaced employees were sent to other offices or went home. The extent of water, fire, and smoke damage was unclear. Now, that's not what the other report said. There was water, smoke and water damage from a fire hose. Now, again, I question if the smoke damage was from the fire hose or it was just the smoke damage from the fire. Investigators were working to determine the cause of the blaze, Etter said. The smoke appeared to come from an electrical closet on the building's second floor. So now we have a phone, or we have an electrical device, or an electrical closet. Okay? It's already the story's got several versions. And that's the media, or that could be the information that's out there just to keep us hopping on our toes. The executive office building, a commanding structure with granite, slate, and cast iron exterior at the corner of Pennsylvania Avenue and 17th Street, houses the Office of Management and Budget and staff of the National Security Council and other agencies. Originally built for the state, war, and navy departments between 1871 and 1888, the building was renamed in honor of President Dwight Eisenhower during the Clinton administration. Okay, so we have a few facts that have come out in this other article. This article sounds like it was the first one, but it's difficult to tell. It's more detailed. Maybe it's just better writing. Maybe this person has a better connection. But we are led to believe that the Office of Management and Budget is possibly at risk here. Now, with a fire, a half-an-hour fire in a several-story tall building, I mean, this is nothing near the World Trade Center size. But it had fire, and it's an electrical fire. Those can be pretty nasty, especially if the electricity is on, and you've got all these papers in there. Granite, slate, and cast iron. I was afraid that building might be in danger of falling, considering how fast the towers on 9/11 fell, 110 stories. I don't know. I'm just using logic here and reasoning this out. This building is very old, very, very old. It was built starting in 1871 and finished around 1888. So it's at least 120 years old in its current state, and it would collapse, I would think, if there was a fire in there. I don't know. Or else they just really built buildings much better back in the 1800s than they do today. So that in mind, now let's look at one pertinent story that possibly could have something to do with the fires in Washington. This story comes from publisher-editor Christopher Story at worldreports.org in London, England. And it's a two-part story in that he updated it, well, actually three parts. He's updated it twice since it came out yesterday. And the story is called Warring Israeli Intel Threatens Rubin with Death. Now, what does this have to do with fires in Dick Cheney's office? Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Then Rubin dispenses threats to Citibank and Treasury officials. Remember, Office of Management and Budget. Remember that. Paulson explicitly blackmails President Bush, as we predicted. Extreme tension grips Washington and the world banking community. Payouts preceding Wanta settlement payment are all illegitimate. Securities and Exchange Commission threatens to shut Citibank down. Remember, Office of Management and Budget and National Security Council. Remember that, too. DOD internal affairs at Citibank with federal judges' arrest warrants. Remember, Office of Management and Budget. Vice President Dick Cheney's office in the Eisenhower Building and the NSC. Two updates have been added on 20th December immediately follow. Now, these are to encapsulate what Mr. Story wrote in a very long article, which I'm not going to read tonight, but I urge all of you to go to worldreports.org and read up on Wantagate. Okay, this was the most recent, this was the first update of today, December 20th. And that's for those of you who are still in December 20th at 1:45 p.m. UK time. The editor is now of the private opinion, based upon incoming information from very authoritative sources since this report was posted, that was yesterday, that none of the recipients has been paid. If that turns out to have been the case and it requires verification, the business of Mrs. Cabral signing off on 1,600 accounts will turn out to have been an elaborate smokescreen and charade designed to buy more time and throw us and others off balance. Update note, it's actually more complex than this. The payment obligations are real and may well have been attempted, but presentation of these details provided a smokescreen and cover for actual non-performance, except possibly in relation to certain payoffs. But the editor's belief this morning that no one was paid is corroborated by sources generally and by the news, noted in the second update below, that the countries were not paid. As reiterated in the original posting here, any payments that might have preceded Wanta's payment would be illegal, since the underlying $27.5 trillion is his property, his sole principal, and no rectification can occur outside the context of the agreed-upon compromise $4.5 trillion settlement, plus interest and penalty add-ons. To which we respond that despite the black fog of lies and deliberate conflicting falsehoods we are having to expose, we are very unlikely to be thrown off balance for long. Either way, as stated below, it is quite clear that all the outside parties mentioned in this and earlier reports are A, being lied to, B, lying to others, C, tripping over their own filthy lies, D, being tripped up by the lies of many others, E, either consciously or unwittingly allowing themselves to be used, and F, being manipulated by the arch liars and professional criminals who are content that the black fog of lies that they have purposely generated since Paulson hijacked Ambassador Lee Wanta's funds in June 2006 is so dense that they can continue their business as usual and perpetrate the endless crude scamming and fraudulent finance operation that they have perfected with assumed impunity. What a sentence. They are wrong in making this assumption. According to one of our most impeccable sources, Paulson, meaning Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, and Bush II, meaning W., were overheard telling associates yesterday that neither Wanta nor other recipients would be paid. This assertion will be shown to be wrongheaded for reasons which cannot yet be elaborated upon. Not even the most demented of arrogant prima donnas can sustain such an inverted pyramid of lies if, despite rampant bribery, everyone who counts domestically and worldwide has had enough. And that threshold was overshot several weeks ago. Now, this is the second update, and this occurred 7 p.m. on the 20th of December. It is now confirmed, and that's UK time, by the way, it is now confirmed that the countries were not paid. Further, the fire in the old executive office building adjacent to Cheney's ceremonial room started after we posted the report below, about half an hour to 40 minutes afterward. Sources specifically state that the timing of the fire was not a coincidence. It is reconfirmed that Israeli intelligence is involved, but a top source has said that the countermanding threat against Reuben Cube, and that's his nickname for Robert Reuben, is not confirmed, leaving the threat that he would be liquidated if the payments did not proceed confirmed. We are sorry that we have to report such horrible details, but that's where it's at, or was at yesterday. There have been innumerable sensitive meetings ever since, no reliable details at present. Meanwhile, the ambassador has circulated a sharp reminder to the White House, Paulson, former Secretary of State James Baker, Vice President Cheney, Attorney General Michael B. Mukasey, First Lady Laura Bush, Mrs. Lynn Cheney, Bobby Eberle, Martin Gillespie, Ed Gillespie, Mark Stevens, David Rexrode, and others pointing out inter alia, and that means all things considered, that Mr. Bush's Texan bagman will be expected to reimburse or to personally cover the United States Treasury's massive losses arising from these ongoing criminal financial irregularities, and pointedly reminding all recipients of his message that four enhanced Inslaw promise-related investigative operating and systematically tracking the irregular transactions and thefts internationally in order to protect and assure my private, personal private custodial control and civil tax obligations, referencing House Resolution 3723. Now, that comes from Wanta. Translated into the vernacular, the message is that the real-time, 24/7 monitoring of these illegal transactions internationally has never ceased, and that every corrupt theft and diversion of funds has been monitored and recorded, so that perpetrators who have been imagining that they will survive the consequences of their banditry thanks to the abuse of the presidential power award pardons to criminal buddies, as Clinton did on a vast scale, as detailed in International Currency Review, Volume 33, Numbers 1 and 2, will be in for some very nasty surprises. Now, these are just updates, and the article is just fabulous what he has gone into, talking about what is going on an international scale. And there is an Israeli element to this. Israeli intelligence is involved in this, and it's quite possible that the vice president himself may have asked. I don't know this for certain, but it seems coincidental that he has been served, and several people have died in their attempts to serve the vice president with papers when he was in Australia earlier this year, and then mysteriously flew to Malaysia under the auspice of having mechanical difficulties with the plane before flying to Pakistan. In fact, at that time, the president, the vice president, and the secretary of the treasury, and then secretary or president of the federal, Ben Bernanke, all were traveling to Latvia, China, Pakistan, and North Vietnam, laundering money, laundering trillions of dollars. Now, I use my discernment in evaluating the fire, and here's a man in England that sees it the same way and gets intelligence information straight from Washington, D.C., that the timing is too coincidental with what's going on with the banking scandal. And this is not the first time this has happened. There was the accidental firing back in, I'm trying to recall, I believe it was on May 18th, in Cheney's office, in the White House, in the West Wing, and two Secret Service agents' pistols accidentally fired at the same time. Now, you tell me, how often do you see that happen? So we need to use some discernment here. And I took this time because discernment really opens the door to see what's going on. And instead of feeling fearful and giving away your power, and I've been talking about giving away your personal power, giving away your sovereignty, and believing in illusions, when you know the truth, it's much easier to deal with what has to be done. Now, what do we do about these things? Well, we can certainly tell others to inform themselves. We can certainly change our voting habits with an election coming up. We have a man running for president who, this is another anomaly that occurred with CNN. They just don't stop. Although this was on Headline News Network, it's part of Ted Turner's broadcasting empire. Ron Paul was interviewed by Glenn Beck last night, and I made some comments about my feelings about how Ron Paul answered certain questions. He did answer in one respect. He did say that, you know, we need to really get to the bottom of this terrorism thing and starting wars that are based upon lies, just for the profit of and the benefit of these massive defense contractors that are making all this money, whether it's building weapons or selling uniforms or building bases and building embassies and stealing the oil and stealing the gold. They all have their hands dirty by what's going on there. And more military personnel who are stationed in Iraq and in Afghanistan as well, we don't mean to leave Afghanistan out of this, are coming forward with horror stories about the extent of murder that's going on and the participation of the Blackwater mercenaries that are making substantially more money than the average serviceman is making. These people are just going in wreaking havoc. We have havoc everywhere. We have fire, we have death, we have destruction, we have corruption. And that's their game. They have to buy into it. It's going on. I hear a lot of people really worried about the fact that this is happening. Now, on Ron Paul's interview on the Glenn Beck show last night, they ran a crawl of a quote. It was sort of a joke that Mike Huckabee supposedly made. I didn't hear Mike Huckabee make the statement, but he referenced something about if you play this message backwards, it says Paul is dead. Paul is dead. Paul is dead. And they ran this crawl across the screen slowly so you could read it right underneath the image of Ron Paul. And they had it pretty much across the screen at the same time. That's how large the type set was in the screen crawl. And not just myself, but several other people whom I have a lot of admiration and respect for, particularly when they discern the same thing. Many people saw this as a Manchurian candidate signal being given on a national TV show. And that people would see that and have that same thought. It tells you that there's something supernatural going on, that we are beginning to discern what's going on. And it's not just one or two people, but it's a lot of people. And there were actually articles about this on the web. People picked this up. People put the video online and focused on those statements. We need to pray for Ron Paul. We must also pray for his protection and for our country's deliverance from this evil. And we will prevail. We turn to God. We repent of our sins. And we seek to spread love and light and the truth around this planet, and we will succeed. It's written that we will succeed. Now, these people, just in the last 24 hours, I mean, this is even less than 24 hours, if you take everything into context, which is going on. I read two articles about the fire that was started, and then I read just the introduction to a large piece that's talking about trillions of dollars of financial corruption. You kind of get the idea that the fires were a diversion and the fires were a cover-up of sensitive materials. There was incriminating evidence in those documents, just like on 9/11 in the Pentagon when they hit the COM-12 offices, which is a Navy department. And they hit the finance offices of COM-12. So you have people being killed. You have records being destroyed. They did the same thing in 9/11. They did the same thing in Oklahoma City. When are people going to wake up and smell the coffee? That's my question. It's over and over and over again. They're doing this. Now, I refuse to give up my sovereignty. I refuse to allow anyone to take over my life and turn me into a slave or a robot. I am neither. And I don't think my listeners are either. Again, I welcome you to call into the show. I'm going to take just a short break here, and I'm going to change the vibe just a little bit. I want to communicate to the listeners tonight that we can do many, many great things if we take responsibility. That was the central focus of my message all week, and it's worth repeating again that we tend to look for others to do our research for us, and there's nothing wrong with that if you're not inclined to research or you're not one who's inclined to be able to retrieve facts. But when we bring the facts forward, it would be nice if you would consider maybe reading a little bit, read up on some stuff, and educate yourself as to what's going on. You don't have to trust what I'm saying or what someone else is saying, let's say, unequivocally. We feel that we're bringing you the truth. We could be wrong about some facts, or we could be wrong about the whole picture. Before you swallow everything, hook, line, and sinker, as the phrase goes, I would suggest that you do some research. Keep an open mind and make your own determinations. Use your God-given gift and work from your heart center. You think with your mind, okay, but you really feel and sense the reality of what's going on in your heart. You always know. And if you have any doubts about that, consider where love comes from. Don't you feel love in your heart? When you're in love with a man or you're in love with a woman, or anyone, when you respect or admire someone who's doing something great, the love that you feel, is it not in your heart first before you think about it or feel it in your head? You always feel it in your heart. That is if you have a heart, and that is if you have feelings. Some of these people we're talking about tonight don't have either. And if they did, they wouldn't be doing the things they're doing. They wouldn't be murdering millions of people across the planet. They wouldn't be stealing all the money. And they devise numerous ways to steal the money. You're taxed. You're taxed to death on things that you don't even use or ever achieve a benefit from. They tell you you're paying road taxes with gasoline prices, but we've got potholes on the highways from one end of the country to the other. This money is diverted into underground bases. It's diverted into concentration camps. It's diverted into poisonous substances that they put in your food and in your water and in the skies. They put it in your medicines. And we pay for it. We pay for it when we acquire these things, as well as we pay for the research that they wantonly spend on money. And I don't mean Leo wantonly. I mean wantonly. They just spend it with impunity. They don't think about the consequences of what they're doing, and the impact that it has on the rest of the universe. Their universe is just around them, their own selfish desires. So, I'd like you to think about this for a moment as we listen to one of my songs, In My Heart. And do we have anybody on the phone yet, Seth? If we do, can you give me a heads up on that?
Hello?
Oh, sounds like we do. Look at that. I just heard somebody. Okay.
Hello.
And who do we have on the line here?
Don, good evening. Hello?
Do I recognize this voice?
Well, you've never heard me sing, and we didn't discuss anything about it, but I've been in the Christmas spirit, so I wanted to call in.
This is Marianne. Marianne, how are you?
Great. How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good.
I intended to call in.
A little bit of Marianne's volume? Can you turn her up just a little bit? Having a little trouble hearing her.
All right. Better?
Oh, that's much better.
All right. I really intended to call in a little earlier tonight. And, you know, I was so interested in what you were saying. I was sitting here, and I looked at the clock, and I thought, oh, my goodness, it's halfway over. And then after a couple of mix-ups on some numbers, now we're a little further along. But as things will happen, you discussed some very interesting news tonight.
Which part was interesting to you, Marianne?
Well, the fire issue was very interesting to me. And it also occurred to me that today, earlier on the news, there was a little snippet on CNN, I believe, about Giuliani having to go to the hospital and getting something checked out. But then he was all right and he was released. But it was good media. And maybe he did have a pain, and if that's the case, well, then God bless him, and I'm glad he's out, you know. But I thought, well, there's lots of things that's going on. And then there's a link I found today earlier at Republican Broadcasting,
mm-hmm.
and it had to do with something that was declared, I think, the 19th, and that was that the Dakota Indians are no longer U.S. citizens. They've decided to withdraw.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, but if they did that to free themselves of the tyranny that
right.
is
they
building up, then let's say thank the Lord for that.
Right, and they've decided to invite the 5-state area that adjoins them to join in if they like, and then they've also sent delegates, I understand, to D.C. and also to Bolivia for some reason, and also to Venezuela, which I thought was very interesting. So anyway, lots of news, but I think you had just sort of begun to shift the gear over to some more different aspects. And you know, I'm a news hound. I love news. I've got to retrain myself. I think I've fallen in too much in love with news, and had started to talk about the fact that there's lots of things we can do. That impacts our future individually and impacts our future collectively.
That's right. I mean, that's what I've been saying, is that we have a responsibility, first of all, to get our own act together
yes.
so that we can depend on ourselves. And then come to others that way, help others that way.
I know someone even today had said, and I agree, and it's not the first time I've heard it, but, you know, knowledge does bring power. And the truth does say, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But when you know facts, and then you're prepared for worst-case scenario, that takes the fear out of it.
Well,
if
sure.
There's going to be whatever, and then, you know, just think of the worst thing that could possibly happen and think, what would I do? Well, I'd need this, this, and this. And if you've got this, this, and this on hand, well, you know, there'll still be a situation, but you were prepared ahead of time.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's the idea. And you know, we talk about solutions, and I have been posing some solutions. Are they earth-shattering? No, by no means. But really, we don't require earth-shattering solutions to solve our problems. The gifts that we have been given by the Creator are so grand that if we would just listen to our inner voice, listen to Him speak to us, we could move mountains. And we have become so complacent, so apathetic, so lazy about everything in our lives, and we just want someone else to do everything else for us and do nothing for ourselves. Well, you become a dumbed-down bag of potato chips.
I think that's partly spiritual, and I also think that's partly part of our soul. We're conditioned that way as of this generation. We're growing up. You know, 30-year-olds today did not experience what I experienced when I was 30, and that's not that long ago. But our generation growing up, they've been conditioned to come home from school, latchkey kids. Oh my God. Letting themselves into a home where the parents are both at work. They sit there and they go to the fridge and they get the aspartame out of the Diet Coke and they go to the potato chips and then they sit in front of the boob tube and then they work, you know, fight over who gets the remote. So we're kind of conditioned, you know, so we have to let these younger people, you know, off with a little grace there, but for the grace of God go all of us. But it's good some people are waking up, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what this is all about. That's the whole reason for this show, is to wake people up.
You know, you spoke of something earlier, and it had to do with the fact that it touched on something like so many times it's so easy to divide ourselves between us and them, and that's a line of division, and when we look at the tip of the eye, and when we see an iceberg, we see the very, very tip of it. And in my mind, when we think of something on the opposing, we'll use that term, opposing side, we think of them, and there's a very small percentage, I believe, that truly are, you know, not good people. They really may be evil, they really may be deceitful, they may really have bought into a belief system. And maybe they fell for it because of profit, because of greed, because of whatever. There's a small number that really maybe are pulling a few strings. But the vast majority of people who are outside of their own knowledge may be working against the better interest of everyone. That percentage, they're acting in a manner that they've not critically evaluated. And maybe they have a gut feel, ooh, is there something not right here? But they've never really acknowledged that thought.
Yeah, they're following orders. You know, they're so into following orders.
It was my job.
Yeah, you can say it's the job, but there's a point.
It was my job.
Mm-hmm. You know, they say, kill this person here because this person said something nasty about me. Mm-hmm. That's an order. Do you follow that order or do you stand up for the truth and what is right? You understand what I'm saying?
I do. And, you know, it's so much easier to stand up and confront, and I use that word very gently. I don't mean in an ugly manner. But, you know, you confront that statement or that order or that whatever. You can confront that with nothing else to question. Do you mean you want me to do that? You know? that starts a dialogue, does that? But it makes it so much easier to do that if you know others that have the same belief system you have or the same questions you have and want to get to the right answer.
Well, it comes across, that there's that word, belief system. I think if you studied the handbook, you know, and you know the protocol and the rules of the military, you are going to abide by the rules. I don't know where in the rules it would say if you're ordered to murder someone because they said something about you, murder them, follow the order. I think the better part of common sense has to take precedence there, and that's not what's going on today.
Now,
we have some very sadistic, nasty things happening in our military.
Right. If I had my very good friend who's a historian and a Marine here, he could tell you the law, and I can't. But there are laws, there are laws, there are laws, and there are orders. But what is it? Honor, integrity, all things, whatever, above honor. I just slaughtered a really important thing. But, you know, for every law, there's a higher law. And sure, you do follow orders. You do according to procedure, unless there is a higher law. And I think that in most military, police, whatever, organizations, there is that higher law that's written into their procedures. That's my... And, you know, also, you know, military today and police today, there's been a mindset that slowly crept in that wasn't there 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I knew the police as being there to protect and serve.
I agree, yeah.
Most of the time they could be trusted. And today I think most of the time or often they can be trusted. These are people, and I'll just speak in generalities, but people who go into police, people who go in the military, maybe they've grown up and one of their family members, a parent, an uncle, and a grandparent was in the military. They saw the good side of it, and there's a good and bad to almost anything you want to look at, it seems like. But they saw the admirable reasons to go into whatever they've chosen to go into. And slowly there's been some sort of a twist to some very fundamental things. And I think that's what needs to be challenged a little bit. You may know a gentleman, Dean Gocher. He deals with the paradigm, our language, Authority Research, I believe, authorityresearch.com is his website. And I believe he's got a radio program, but Dean Gocher, G-O-T-C-H-E-R. But we really need to get back to some critical thinking, and that's one of the areas you excel in. That's one of the reasons I just really appreciated you from the first time I heard you.
Well, I appreciate people that... now, you just mentioned something that I prescribe to, and that's the meaning of words, understanding how the words are twisted. You know, we call it spin when it comes from media.
Right.
And spin can just be outright lying and misleading. You have lying by omission. You have the spin where they twist the phrases to cast doubt on the facts. Now, I use these examples. I didn't write any of this stuff that I read tonight, but I wanted people to see how I apply my discernment. And really, I'm not discerning as much as I'm using logic. But the gut feeling I had when I heard about the fire, I knew it was going to be in an office where records were kept.
Right.
Not all offices serve that purpose, but isn't it interesting, the Office of Management and Budget and the NSC, the National Security Council, which is part of the NSA, which has everything to do with what's going on, with the war, with the money, everything. These people want to get their hands on trillions of dollars, and they'll stop at nothing to do it. They're using it for their personal enrichment and the enrichment of their cohort. And they're doing it to the detriment of this country. This country could overnight be a totally different paradigm.
I I could just about agree with you completely. And I'm not saying that it couldn't be done overnight. I just think it's a process that realistically might take 48 hours instead of 24 hours. and everyone can begin right now by taking 5 minutes once this is over, and they can go to meetup.com and they can type in Ron Paul, and hey, they can join a meetup group for Ron Paul. And, you know, a lot of the people, well, no, not a lot, everyone who's a supporter of an individual, when you're in a common meeting like that, some people have a science background, some people have a medical background, some people have a police background, some people have, you know, military background, but they each of us have our own individual areas of expertise and interest. And I had thought, well, if people are all interested, for example, in Ron Paul, I am, and if the meeting, you know, had four round tables and each one said, well, I think I'll go to the table that's discussing my area of interest, my area of expertise, because that's where we always excel. And have someone work on water. You know, what do we need to do on this planet to save our water? Have someone discuss air. What do we need to do to save our air? Maybe we could stop spraying some chemtrails. My goodness.
And energy store resources and those types of things.
Yeah. Right. And what do we need to do in D.C.? Do we need to vote? Yeah. Do we need to make sure the vote is counted? Yeah. And you can do that by helping by go to Take Back America to 008.com or org, one or the other. I think that's right. And then there's votefraud.org. And then there's a huge amount of stuff on YouTube. I think if you just type in, you know, vote fraud, you get several things. But do we need our vote counted? Yes, we do. So I think really, you know, a few roundtable discussions amongst some leaders, I think things could be changed rather quickly. I really do.
You know, it's interesting that you brought that up, too, because I read the poll numbers that they were showing on CNN, and it sounds like all I do is watch TV, and I turned it on for 10 or 15 minutes, and you pretty much get everything that they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And Ron Paul was down at the bottom of the list with 8% of the popular vote in these primaries.
On media, yeah, on
now,
mainstream media.
IndependentPrimary.com had a poll for a couple of days, and I voted on that. I know some other people that did. And over 110,000 people voted in that online election.
There
Ron
you go.
Ron Paul took 90% of the vote.
Right, right.
90% of the vote. Now,
right. I wish I could remember the website, and it's Primary Online or PrimaryOnline08.com or .org. But it was a like kind of result. And you know, in the last couple of days, I know I've heard him ask the question, if he were not to be given the nomination as the Republican candidate, would he run as an independent? And he actually answered no, he didn't think he would, because it's so fractured. Well, that's true. The parties in, you know, third parties are fractured. However, you know, he's sitting in a position right now where he's waiting on someone, and I don't even know how this is actually done, but they're given the, you know, nomination for that party to run as a candidate. He's waiting on their approval. Now, with the people speaking up, he's likely to get it, and my prayer is that he will. But on the other hand, you know, if he were to stand up today and go to the media and say to the media, excuse me, but these shoes are too small for me, and I've decided to withdraw my support from the Republican Party. Now, don't laugh, but it would leave the Republican Party, and it'd leave the Democratic Party, and it'd leave the media all holding hands together.
Why can't I laugh?
And you would see the ship that's tilting so far one side it's about to take on water. It's in so much distress.
Oh, yeah.
You would see the ship right itself and turn to the other side because everybody's going to be following Ron Paul. Not the media, not the Democratic Party and not the Republican Party. They're going to be following Ron Paul.
Yeah, well, this whole thing is about propaganda, and if we get propaganda in the news. Now, these stories I read tonight can all be telling the truth in their own way. What's interesting is if you assume that those are honest articles and they're reporting the truth as best they know, what's interesting is that one writer, the one that's writing about the financial issues, also spoke about the fire and the reason for the fire. And my discernment tells me the same thing. And this is what I've been asking people to do all week, as well as call in, and you've done that. And I have to say, Marianne, thank you so much for calling in. We've run out of time on the show tonight. But call in again. I gave you the right nickname, too.
Yes.
Remember, I said I'm going to call you the URL lady.
And I want to wish everyone a very, very Merry Christmas, peace and joy, and a Norman Rockwell sort of thing. And you're the one that's the song master. I think you could probably sing I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas or City Sidewalks or whatever, but I really do wish, and I pray, I know that God has blessed us immensely, and even if we go through troubles, He's in the midst of them so much greater. And God bless you, Don. You're a true treasure. You're a true blessing. And
well,
thank
you, Marianne. God bless you too. And maybe I'll take you up on that. Maybe I'll play it tomorrow night. We're going to have Jim Murray on tomorrow.
Wonderful. You play
maybe
it.
Maybe I'll just do a Christmas song. Thank you so much, Marianne.
You have a great night. Thank you.
All right. You too.
Bye.
Good night, everyone. We've run out of time. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I'm Don Nikoloff, the host, and I'll be back tomorrow with scientist, author, lecturer, inventor, and my good friend, Jim Murray. Thank you for being with us tonight. Peace, love, and light.